It's stupid and juvenile.
We are stupid and juvenile.
The hottest talk show around.
They're juvenile and gross.
Isn't that a little juvenile?
All you do is talk.
We'll call it the 6 second talk show.
Now you're just being childish.
Oh, yeah?
How's this for childish, bro?
Snap.
Time to party.
The River Network presents Dimitri live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5, 1290, 100.1, 1430, and 100.9. Time to get your morning up to speed with Dimitri live and dangerously local, a River Network production.
It's the Rhino Replacement Roadmap. We need to get an awful lot of real conservatives, true MAGA people to replace these hideous country club Republicans, these Republicans in name only, rhinos. And if I got a great guest for you, the rhino that I'm talking about today, it represents or is supposed to represent West Virginia in the United States Senate. I call her Senator Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia's wrinkled rhino. She's the grand dam of the Archmore political dynasty, the Archmorons, and she is swamp creature 100% all the way. I've got her worst nightmare on as my special guest, live on the air exclusive interview. His name is Tom Willis, and he is a senator in West Virginia, the West Virginia Senate, and he is active duty National Guard, U.S. Army Special Forces, Green Beret, served in the Middle East, working counter ISIS, counter Iran. Oh, yeah, we'll be talking all about Iran today, let me tell you, and counterint terrorism operations. And I'm just so excited. You can watch the show, although he is on phone, by phone, I should say, on Rumble, our live stream on Rumble. Hello, Rumble audience. We're getting just huge numbers already on Rumble with our live stream. You also download the River Network app and click Big Willie 105.5, and you can hear Dimitri live and dangerously local 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, the River Talk Radio Network, 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, and the Sturdy 1430. So, Senator Tom Willis, welcome back to Dimitri live and dangerously local. How you doing, sir?
Dimitri, good morning. Great to be back with you. Thanks for having me on again.
Great. How is your rhino hunting going these days?
It's going well, sir. Everywhere I go around the state, I think folks realize Shelley Moore Capito really has not represented West Virginia values well, and folks realize it's time for a change.
Well, I've been telling people that she is West Virginia's wrinkled rhino for quite a while. I'm sure the word has gotten out through most of the state. When you talk about Shelley Moore Capito, do people actually make references to her being the wrinkled rhino?
I hear it in the northern panhandle for sure.
Okay. All right, we're making progress. All right, let it happen. We're making progress. Yes, thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you very much. All right, so let me learn more about, by the way, when are you going to finally get here in the northern panhandle to be in studio so we can do a whole 2 hours on you? I keep asking you, when are you coming up here? When are you coming in? I'm still waiting.
Well, I was up a couple of weeks ago. I just posted some pictures with DeFelice Pizza. But let me finish up session down here in Charleston, and then I'll be headed your way, my friend.
All right, fair enough. Anything I can do to help rid the mountain state of the wrinkled rhino, that would be absolutely great. Tell me more about Tom Willis, National Guard active duty. Are you going to be called up to go over and fight in Iran?
It's possible. I mean, I'm still a member of the West Virginia National Guard. I have been since 2000. So anybody that's serving in uniform can get called up at any time. That's part of the job description and something we've got to be ready for. So it could happen. You know, when I first joined back in 2000, I remember my recruiter, good guy named Joe Willie. We're still friends to this day, 26 years later. But he told me, you know, Tom, listen, the National Guard, it's a part-time thing. You know, the National Guard's only been mobilized twice in the last 65 years. You know, you can work your job and then just come enjoy. And of course, 9/11 happened the year after, and since then, I've spent close to 17 years on active duty.
My goodness, you don't mean Joe Willie Namath, do you?
No. He's a National Guard. Joe Williams out of Preston County.
Ah, oh, that Joe Williams. All right, fair, fair enough. So, you served in the Middle East.
Right. Yes.
Okay, Green Beret. What was it like?
Well, I was in several different countries in the Middle East. I was in Afghanistan, in Iraq for a little bit. I ran special operations in Kuwait. I was in Bahrain, worked out of the embassy in Qatar, and visited UAE. So each country is very different. Each, you know, there's a lot of disparity between obviously Afghanistan and some of the Gulf Cooperation Council, what we call the GCC countries, Saudi Arabia, and that little collection of countries that stand against Iran. You know, they have the oil revenues and the oil wealth. So it's a whole different ball game, you know, than when you're talking about what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. So just depending on where you are, I mean, there's huge differences in culture and wealth. But it's a hotbed pretty much everywhere. I mean, you've got terrorist cells, which we were hunting. We were working counter ISIS operations. We were working.
What was that like? What was that like? Counter ISIS operations. Did you have dogs that you would sick on them, or what exactly happened?
Well, what you're doing in the GCC countries, like I mentioned, you know, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, those sort of countries, you're actually cooperating closely with the government in those countries, and you're cooperating closely with their intelligence services and their special operations services, and you're basically filtering threats, filtering intelligence, looking for terrorist cells, and then when you find them, planning how to eliminate them, and then taking them out. And that's, you know, that's a constant battle. There's a constant threat of terrorism in that region. That's no secret. But the governments that are there, that are allied with the United States, obviously, you know, we don't want, you know, something like what happened in Iran in 1979 to happen in another country that's, you know, currently aligned with our political interests.
So, did you kill any terrorists?
Well, when you're operating in those countries outside of a wartime scenario, you operate through their version of the CIA or through their version of special forces. So so we would operate by, with, and through local special operation forces when we're eliminating terrorist cells in those countries.
You didn't answer my question.
You noticed. Yep. So that's about all I can tell you, Dimitri.
How many did you kill?
I'm obviously not at liberty to talk about a lot of
things.
Oh,
it's okay. I'm authorized. I'm authorized. I'm on a federally licensed radio station. I'm authorized.
What I can tell you, it was an honor to serve my country.
All right.
And
all of these different countries. All right.
I'm honored to still be in military uniform.
All right. Fair enough. So, who funded ISIS?
Well, Iran has funded all kinds of terrorist proxies across the board, and I know we're going to get to that conversation. ISIS, they quickly became self-funded after they seized oil fields, and they robbed and stole their way to wealth. But it was a problem across the board, and the interesting thing about it was, It was a problem that the Obama administration couldn't solve. They couldn't cut off their funding. They couldn't cut off their recruiting. They couldn't cut off their military power. Trump came in and basically just gave U.S. generals a long leash and said, I want this problem eliminated. And then the U.S. military did what we do, and we took care of the problem. And that's the difference between strong leadership in the White House and weak leadership in the White House.
All right. Back to the National Guard for just a bit. West Virginia National Guard, two West Virginia National Guard members were attacked by Taliban, an Afghan terrorist here in America who was let in by Shelley Moore Capito and then not supervised. One paid with her life. The other one, that was Sarah Beckstrom. And the other one, is it Andrew Wolf? Is that his first name, Andrew Wolf?
That's correct,
all
yes.
Right. How is he doing?
He's doing much better, and he was at the State of the Union, received a Purple Heart, and he's made good progress. I mean, that Walter Reed Hospital, it's just state of the art, the most advanced rehabilitation center in the world. I've had a lot of friends go through there, and they really work some miracles. And so, you know, praise God, Andrew was able to to go through there, and he's on the path of recovery. Obviously, not 100%, still has a way to go, but you know, we've been praying for him, and we'll continue to. But you made a good point, Dimitri. This really should have never happened. I mean, there was a vote back in 2021, and it was naively foolish to think that we could bring 70 to 100,000 Afghan refugees to this country, and there wouldn't be some sort of repercussions. Because, look, this is a I have been to Afghanistan, and this is a population that statistically is 60% illiterate, and that's not in English. That's in their own language, Pashto, Urdu, whatever it is. So imagine you've got someone illiterate in Pashto trying to come to the United States. They can't read in their own language. How are they going to learn to read English and adapt to our modern economy? They're going to become wards of the state. It's just a foolish decision. On top of that, the average Afghan has a fourth grade equivalent education. Now imagine they're coming here in our AI economy. Now, on top of that, they're Muslim. Okay, so they're coming here with a Sharia mentality, potentially, which is exactly what happened with this guy that drove from Washington State all the way across the country. He's thinking about killing American soldiers for 4 or 5 days, driving across the country, gets to D.C., and then murders one West Virginia National Guardsman and almost murders a second one. And this could have been prevented if we just had some modicum of wisdom sitting in the U.S. Senate instead of Shelley Moore Capito that voted to bring these Afghan refugees into the country, and then recently voted for more funding for them as well. And
one of the many reasons
I've got a problem with her, and she needs to go.
All right, don't bury the lead. What did you just say about West Virginia's wrinkled rhino? She just voted for what?
For the Afghan refugee resettlement program.
Giving them more money? After they shot and killed one of our West Virginia National Guardsmen and then seriously wounded the other one? She's giving them more money? Are you serious?
Yeah, there was a vote a couple of weeks ago for essentially more government funding for the Afghan refugee resettlement program, and she was a yes vote on it.
This is unbelievable. Did you send out a news release on this? Because if not, you really should have. I mean, honest to God, this is unbelievable to me. What is it with Shelley Moore Capito and her love affair with the swamp in D.C., especially with these Afghan terrorists? What's in it for her? She bribed? Well, is she getting paid off? What's in it for her?
I think the thing with her, Dimitri, is it's what West Virginians across the state are realizing. She's what I would call a country club Republican. You know, go along to get along. Doesn't have a set of principles that guide her decision-making process. And so if leadership says we're going to vote to bring in 100,000 Afghan refugees, you know, she's like, okay, you know, I'll vote. You know, and so what I'm offering is someone that's a different cut. You know, I base my decision-making process off of biblical truth and conservative values, traditional West Virginia family values, and those I'll never waver from. And that's the difference between me and Shelley.
That is unbelievable. Did she ever reach out, do you know, to the West Virginia National Guardsmen, Sarah, and also Andrew, to see how they were doing? Is she staying in touch with them? Is she supporting them? Do you know anything about that at all, one way or the other?
No, I don't. I don't know if she's contacted them personally or not. I was at Sarah's funeral, and Shelley rolled in with her motorcade, and I just wondered, you know, what she was thinking, knowing that she had voted for the very thing that had caused this funeral to take place.
It really is. It's mind-boggling to me how anyone can be supportive of the West Virginia's wrinkled rhino. It really is utterly mind-boggling to me. So, Tom Willis, we got a short break coming up here, and then want to talk with you more about Iran, about President Trump, about the SAVE Act, and why Republicans, your fellow Republicans in the Senate, are balking at demanding identification for voting, and why Shelley Moore Capito is not doing anything to push for that. She's been really, really silent about all of this. More with our very special guest, Tom Willis, Shelley Moore Capito's worst nightmare. Dimitri, live and dangerously local.